Last week on the Poison Rana Patreon, we talked all about WWE Hall of Famer Paul Heyman in a brand new episode of Poison Profile.
Okay, so the Rise and Fall of ECW DVD has this like Easter egg where wrestlers would describe Paul Heyman's tactics during ECW on maybe ways to cut corners and save a few bucks, including Chris Jericho with this very funny story.
Airline said, well, you got your window seat and we're very sorry about your brother-in-law. Excuse me? We're very sorry about your brother-in-law that, you know, your brother-in-law passed away. We're sorry about that. I'm like, my brother-in-law? What are you talking about? And they're like, well, your bereavement fare that you have. This jackass waited so long, he bought a bereavement fee, which is a plane fare that you buy when somebody passes away. You get a half-price ticket.
That kind of explains Paul Heyman, I guess, in a nutshell. Like, he cut the corners, but at the end of the day, it was...
Any kind of, like, table for three or any sort of WWE Network thing, they're always laughing about it. Like, yeah. All of them. Like, the Dudleys, Taz, Dreamer, Van Damme, Jericho, all of them are like, yeah, you didn't pay.
Get this show plus NXT retro reviews, wrestling reviews, movie reviews, and so much more over at patreon.com/poisonrana, and it's only $5, so what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for?
Poison Rana.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Poison Rana, and we are coming at you live on a Sunday afternoon, a rainy Sunday in the six.
Yeah, we are live on youtube.com/@poisonranapod. Yeah, I very much got caught in the rain earlier. It's one of those, you know, one hand gives, the other hand takes away. It's warm, finally. Mm-hmm. We're in like the high double digits, but it's pissing it down. So
yes,
can't
yes.
Really
so,
enjoy it.
What better way to stay inside and podcast about professional wrestling? And that's what we're going to do here today on Sunday. But hit that subscribe on our YouTube if you haven't already. Maybe you're listening on a podcast form, whether it's Spotify, Apple. Write us a nice little review; it goes a long way. Hit that subscribe, follow, all those little things go the extra mile here. But yeah, it's raining. I didn't even go outside. I'm a little hungover from Saturday night. And then I turned on Collision. And, you know, it put me in a good mood. I got to watch some good wrestling. So I even watched Collision that we can talk about. So we're going to chat about everything that's going on, because this seems like WrestleMania come and gone. And then things just keep going and going and going. And Tony Khan's wearing a neck brace at the NFL draft. And though for about 20 minutes, I'd say everyone in the world of wrestling collectively came together and we're like, wow, we're on the same page. This is great. And oh, no, it went to shit. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that too.
Absolutely. Yes. First things first, though, next Saturday is Backlash from France. We are going to be doing a little watch party. It's not going to be, I don't think, as crazy as like a WrestleMania or a Rumble, but we'll be doing a lunchtime watch party at Gabby's 309 King Street West. If you are in the area, come along, have some lunch with us, have a couple of bevvies, and watch the event from France. Gabby's 309 King Street West. Go to poisonrana.ca for your tickets.
Yes, it's going to be interesting watching wrestling at 1 p.m. in the afternoon, because us here in Toronto, we're not used to that. We're used to always 8 p.m. It's very rare. When All In aired, we were actually at it. So that was still a kind of normal time for us at the time. So it'll be interesting to just watch on a Sunday. I guess the Saudi shows are the most close to...
Yeah, they're normally a little earlier, like 11 or 12, I think. But yeah, we're going to have a few coming up. We've got obviously the France show. We've got a Saudi show coming up just after that. We've then got a Germany show in the summer. We've got a bunch of international shows. I kind of like that, the afternoon, you know, just chill, whether you're doing the watch party or not. Just, you know, have some lunch, rest, have the rest of your day, just kind of waking up on a Saturday watching some wrestling.
Yeah. So anyone in Toronto, come hang out with us. We're going to keep it low key and watch some wrestling during the day, and we'll talk about some build to Backlash and go through some of the stuff for that. Cause I think when they announced the first match, I was like, okay, this is going to be good. And then everything else, I'm kind of like, I'm be interested to see. I don't know what the interest level post Mania of how many people jumped on to wrestling again and how many people just as quickly just like, I'll watch casually kind of thing. So I guess we'll see. But that main event still sounds pretty good. So anyone in Toronto area, come out for that one. And like you said, we'll probably be doing some of these other daytime ones down the line in the summer or whatever else comes our way. So look ahead for that as well. And then some other housekeeping, because it is a Backlash. Are we going to be reviewing a retro Backlash this coming week?
I think so. I think the plan is to do to celebrate the 20-year anniversary of Backlash 2004, featuring a match we have talked about before, but I'm always excited to revisit, Randy Orton versus Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my favorite matches. I used to rewatch this one like constantly with friends back in the day, but also features the WrestleMania 20 rematch. People might not want to revisit that, but we will, and we'll chat all about that, because I believe this Backlash is from like Edmonton. It might be a rough watch, to be honest, but we just really want to talk about Randy and Mick Foley. So to get to that, we'll talk about everything else on that card from 2004. Yeah. 20 years ago, just like last week, was this event. So we thought this would be a fun Backlash to go. Yeah, Sino in the chat saying Foley and Orton actually just redid like a little bit of a watch chat about it that WWE put out. That's actually what inspired me to be like, hey, let's just review this one, because it seems like it could be a fun one. And then as you heard off the top, the commercial for our Poison Profile for Paul Heyman, that came out this week, which was a pretty fun show, and we looked at the entire career of him. And then to go completely on the other side of things, we pivoted and looked at Friends season 1 episode 1, 2, and 3. So for any Friends fans out there,
Friends,
this is the show for you, because we take a look at all the characters, we look at these episodes, we look at some of our favorite moments and memories and everything from that show, and discuss what characters we think we are and why
I've been continuing watching it.
I swear I heard you watch it. I heard it the other day in my house. I'm like, what the fuck? Is this guy just watching Friends? Yeah. How far did you get?
I'm like halfway through season 1, I think. Okay. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say like season 3 episodes. Casually.
No, not quite. But no, it's as we mentioned on the show, it's easy comfort viewing. You know, like I often throw on some of those WWE docs as well, just like as background noise when cooking or whatever. And yeah, so when I'm like sitting down and actually watching something, I'm still working my way through The Boys. But yeah, it's sort of background noise, some old Friends is pretty fun. I do want to watch that Baby Reindeer, though, that people have been talking about. I think that might be on my list tonight.
Baby Reindeer. I've seen it on social media, but I don't know what it is.
It's a new Netflix series written by a guy who was who had like a pretty like scary stalker. And going into like all that. So, I've heard really good things about that so far. So I think I'm going to give that a watch tonight.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I've been watching the X-Men 97 because I'm still thinking about this one specific episode, but that has been way better than I even expected, because I'm not too into cartoons, but I used to really love that show. So it's kind of this weird deja vu feeling, but it's like they legit just continued from the show from the 90s, which is like messing with my, you know, 90s brain, because I'm still like a young kid being like, wow, they're actually continuing and everything. And I don't know if you've seen pictures, but I'm wondering if Pierce Brosnan's going to be cast as Magneto in the new X-Men, because he's walking around like fucking Dumbledore with the gray hairs all over the place. So
okay,
I'm wondering if he's trying to aim for the role of Magneto, but I don't think his villain superhero thing worked out in Black Adam for him.
I fully intend on watching it. I've actually started it 4 times, but I keep starting way too late and then waking up like 4 hours later on my lazy boy. So like I've seen the first 5 minutes like 4 times now at this point. But I love the kind of whole idea of it, and the, you know, keeping true to the animation and all that sort of stuff. Like I fully intend on watching it.
And then like to tie in, because the actual trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine came out, like the another teasers, whatever the hell people just it's like the biggest trailer, or sorry, the biggest teaser was the one that came out for the Super Bowl, but now they put out the trailer with you actually see Wolverine wearing the suit, still not wearing the mask.
Right.
I'm sure we'll get that in the movie. And I'm sure we're also going to get like all these cameos from all the different iterations of the X-Men in the movies and
yeah.
and stuff. But I'm super hyped for that movie. I'm trying to think of anything else of what there is to talk about, because I also talking about like movies and promotion. Sino sent me this thing that Planet of the Apes are doing in New York, where they got a bunch of dudes in like monkey outfits riding horseback around like New York City and in Central Park to promote this movie.
Nice.
And I'm really excited to see that movie. So me and my girlfriend kind of want to do a watch back of like, start from the OG Planet of the Apes, which is still fucking fantastic. And then like kind of the newer ones to get to.
Yeah, I need to see, this is the fourth one, right? Of the like the new series.
Technically it's the fourth, but they're yeah. saying it's kind of like it's number one in like, it's the original.
It's sort of, it's still like Caesar yeah. and that, right? Like it's, I saw one and two. I saw the one with James Franco, saw the one with Toby Kebbell. I love those two. So I should probably do a little bit of a catch up too.
Cause it would trip me the fuck out if you're out for a walk right now on a Sunday. And then all of a sudden these fucking monkeys on horses
yeah.
show up and be like, ooh, these animals kicked in. But I can't wait to see that. And then of course there's lots of wrestling, which we of course watch day in and day out, too much wrestling. And it seemed, wrestling had kind of crossed over into more public eye when it came to like this NFL draft and everything. So where do we want to start today with all the talks? Do we want to look at AEW?
Yeah, let's start with the closing angle of AEW and maybe work backwards from there. But we closed the show. The Elite, Jack Perry, re-signing with AEW, shaking Tony Khan's hand, punching him in the gut, and then having the TK driver delivered to him. And as you mentioned, TK selling the effects ever since, been wearing the neck brace, was wearing the neck brace at the draft and all that. I have kind of mixed feelings on it personally, but what were your thoughts of the angle and the aftermath of it all?
Yeah, I feel like I would have to take it back even to just like the beginning of Dynamite. I think this Dynamite was just a misstep, and I'm not even like talking about the angle. I feel like they came off such a hot show with Dynasty last week. For those who watched it, you came out of it being like, wow, that was some of the best wrestling you've ever seen, especially like that one match. And then for anyone maybe who was like, oh, maybe I do have to watch Dynamite to get sucked into like what AEW can deliver. And then I don't know. I felt like Dynamite was just like everything they presented was the wrong way to come off such a hot show from Sunday. And I think I was more like just like confused and scratching my head at that than even the main event angle, because you should have just had Swerve come out right at the beginning of the show.
All right. Well, let's start with that then instead of the angle. I agree. I'm getting Hangman's Championship Reign energy already on day one. You know, like so often when we were doing BD Elite, when we used to review Dynamite every week, it was like, where's Hangman? Oh, who's the champion of this promotion? Oh, Hangman. This show made Swerve feel like he held the fourth most important title. You know, you've got a big match to set up for the International Championship. You've got Jon Moxley main eventing with the IWGP Championship. You've got Okada in the closing angle with the Continental Championship. And then you had Swerve come, like he didn't even open the show. The most important thing we had to set up was we got to set up that Rampage match.
Yeah. Chuck, like what?
Who's Chuck Taylor going to choose? A guy who hasn't wrestled for years and has been never more than a mid in AEW.
I'm so angry because I would have liked that. I would have liked, look, I just don't understand why Trent and Chuck, that had to be I had to hear what Trent had to say after all this time. It's like, no, we just had a huge moment. Yeah, if it was later in the show, I would have been way more positive on that, because I do like those guys and would love to see them wrestle and everything. But to start the show and have heel Trent be like, ah, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. First of all, if it wasn't Swerve coming out for whatever reason, it should have been Danielson or Ospreay or anyone else who wrestled on that show, but it wasn't. So it was just like, why was that? You said it. It's like they already treat him. You won the title. Cool. It's like story's done.
It's been such an issue. I mean, I think WWE have definitely faced this problem as well. When you crown a babyface champion, it's the story's over. They never really think much beyond that. And I think they're doing an okay job with Cody so far in WWE, but I think they followed it up correctly. You know, they made him feel like the biggest star in this promotion right away. If you've won the world title, and especially a historic championship change, like the first black wrestler to hold the AEW world championship, you open that show. And I get the thinking. I know they said they're going to have, you know, a big lead in for Collision, because you've got the NBA, so people will be sticking around and hopefully like start with Swerve right away on Collision. That's great. You can do both. You know, Cody open Raw, Cody open SmackDown for couple of weeks. You should have had Swerve come out and do the promo he did on Dynamite and say he's gonna do like a open challenge or whatever it was, and set up the Claudio match for Saturday, drive interest for that Saturday show. Oh, we're getting Claudio v Swerve on Saturday, that sounds cool. And then you can have him open the show, you can have him open Collision as well with a promo. Like it just felt so wrong. And even when the Kyle Fletcher match was happening, they're talking about how great Danielson and Ospreay was on commentary, which is fine. You should hit it home. That was an incredible match that you should be touting, but like not during your world champion's first match. It just right away, he felt like an afterthought.
It
felt like the fourth, fifth most important thing on that show.
It totally felt like they missed a step with having Swerve come out later in the show. And then like he had a good match, but at the same time, it's like, we didn't need to see him have a match really on Dynamite. He just needed to cut a great promo. You could have done, because like fast looking ahead to Collision, what they did on Collision is exactly what they should have done on Dynamite. Cesaro comes out, Claudio comes out. I mean, he challenges, you have that match as like your main event. That would have like, I think got a lot better response once it happened. We know more people watch Dynamite. The numbers and all that stuff obviously dropped. Yeah. Everybody wants to always talk about ratings and stuff, but like people, that would have been a way more.
Even with the lead on Saturday, Dynamite's going to have a higher than Collision.
So why wouldn't you have done that right away? Establishing like if anyone were to have watched, oh, who is this guy that is their champion now? And then he beats Claudio, you'd be like, oh, okay, like, cool, babe, this guy. And then it's a good match.
It's like a lack of trust in Swerve that, oh, he can't pull off two promos in a week. Like, yeah, of course you can.
It was very bizarre. And then, so like that definitely, like instantly I felt back to like the Hangman thing where it's like, well, you won the title and now you're relegated to whatever. Cause we really needed to hear what Trent had to say to set up a parking garage match or whatever. And then I'm pretty like, that's weird. Why would you treat like your main character? It's like coming off a hot angle on a TV show the last week, and then you don't even clue into the main story.
And then the next week, halfway. And you do a filler episode.
Yeah, it's like, anyways, we're going to go feature. Yeah, it's like, wait, no. We want to hear what happened to this guy. So it's like so bizarre. And then to like outdo themselves, they put Ospreay in the gimmick battle royal, the clusterfuck, which I'm like, wait. Why would this guy want to go for the IC title? Oh, wait, is it Okada the IC champion? No, wait, that's a different IC title. So Ospreay is just going to do what Okada's been doing, which is just holding the like fucking title that no one knows or cares about. So it's like those titles got to mesh together.
Yeah, I mean, I don't dislike the idea of keeping Ospreay away from the world title until he's ready to win it. You know, I think you need to give Swerve a decent run with this title. and you shouldn't necessarily have an end date already in mind of when you're going to move it to the next guy. So, yeah. But I think Ospreay is a character that as soon as he challenges like for it, it should be a big thing. And I think if you put him in that picture now, it would take a lot away from Swerve, which, I mean, they've already done. I don't think it's a guarantee, though, he's going to win this thing. I could see maybe, depending on Adam Cole's status, like, I mean, I know we saw him standing up. I don't know how far off he is. He was limping, but it's wrestling. You don't know what's a sell or whatever. Like, I could see a scenario where, you know, Adam Cole costs him that title, and then you're spinning off into an Adam Cole Will Ospreay feud to keep Ospreay busy for a little bit, because by the sounds of it, MJF's not coming back anytime soon. He's just undergone shoulder surgery. So that could be a hot program to bring like a heel Adam Cole back into against babyface Will Ospreay, keeping them busy. It's also fresh. It's not really a combination we've ever seen before, which I think with Okada and Ospreay, that's going to be a challenge. It's like, okay, what fresh matches can we have? Because we have seen them against a lot of these guys. So I wonder if they're going to go that route and then keep the title on Roddy. Otherwise, yeah, it's the issue is that your Continental Championship and International Championship are going to feel like a bigger deal than your World Championship, which you do need tiers to this thing. And like I've been saying, I don't mind different titles as long as you have something that differentiates them. So they've established the TNT title now isn't a rankings title. You know, it's an open challenge format. That's fine. You need to establish something a bit more with the international and continental, I think.
Just all these other words for world.
Yeah.
Universal.
Exactly, yeah.
Continental. Yeah. So funny. Yeah. Props. Yeah, but yeah, I just felt weird that the way the show was like planned out and was put together, because that already like just made me go, ah, this feels not as special as maybe they could have made it, especially with Swerve. But then I'll fast forward. Like, there was some good wrestling on the show. Don't get me wrong. The Battle Royal actually had some great first time encounters of Ospreay v a few different people. So that was pretty cool and could easily spin him off into any of those guys. I mean, Roddy and Ospreay sounds pretty good as well. So I imagine he takes that title from him. And if you're thinking maybe Cole is back sooner rather than later, then maybe that's somehow to involve him to get that way and into that title. But like there was some other fine stuff from Dynamite, but then obviously it goes into the main event angle.
Well, while we're on the Battle Royal, I actually really enjoyed that gauntlet match. I thought they could have thrown up a graphic to explain it better before it started. Yeah. I also think people have gone a bit overboard. Like, it took about three entries before I was like, okay, it's people keep coming out and one fall to a finish. I think wrestling fans get a bit ridiculous at times. Like, oh, it's confusing. It's not. Like, you watch football and there's flags thrown for like weird shit all the time that I can't make sense of. It's it's a gauntlet, but like, and one fall to a finish. But I do agree that they should have made it clearer, you know, like it's going to be just throw up the graphic. People going to keep coming out until someone wins. But I actually really loved the concept. And I thought this was a way better concept than their battle royal they do with the suits and four people coming out at a time and the two people left to fight. I thought it was way better than that and had the... It achieved the thing that like a Royal Rumble or a Survivor Series does, where you suddenly have these like dream interactions you didn't realize you wanted, like having a Kyle O'Reilly and an Ospreay go at it.
Commander,
Dante Martin, I think was in that Penta. Like, I thought you had all these really cool combinations, and it's something I think now that we've seen it and we know how it works is something they could do pretty well. And it could be, you know, a thing that they try as like could we push this for like the whole first hour of a Collision 1 week, do this, because they're saying they've got potentially up to 21 people, right? And I think you could definitely have some fun with this gimmick. And once you actually have been told what the rules are, it's really not that complicated. And you get the fun and surprise of like a Royal Rumble with the entrances and stuff. So it was actually my favorite part of the show, that match. I thought it was really fun and you had some great combinations there.
I mean, I didn't mind the wrestling whatsoever. It was just strange having, again, Ospreay, who's, I know he's new here, but we've already had him in some big matchups. We just saw him come off of what was like, what is some people deeming the match of his career. Mm. And then he's just like, yeah, I want that IC title. It's like, all right. Yeah.
I just think back.
I mean, you know what? Maybe it is a smart move, because at the end of the day, I'm like, yeah, Roderick Strong and Ospreay, is it pay-per-view worthy Ospreay match? Maybe not as like obviously as big as the Danielson, but I still would like to watch it. And I think Roddy Kyle was a bit underrated from last week as well, so like it really could be a solid match. And I did enjoy some of the spots. I need to see Kyle v Ospreay one-on-one. I need to see Commander and Kyle one-on-one, and I actually enjoyed him in that match as well. And I did like it, but it still felt like this week, I think I just, as soon as they started the show and Trenton really needed to explain, I was just like, I don't know
I
what
felt
it
exactly
was.
The same. Yeah, I just I felt know. Like, I felt pissed for Swerve this yeah. whole show. I was like, that was it? Like, he didn't feel like a champion at all on this show. I barely remember even picturing him with the title on his entrance, you know? Like, it just felt such an afterthought. And, you know, it's the thing. If you're not opening the show, you're closing the show, right?
Yeah.
If you're not main eventing, you want to be the opener, because that's the hottest thing, and or at least top of the hour. And he wasn't. He's yeah. like coming out 12 minutes into the show. It just felt weird.
Another thing, somehow they're going to use Shibata using his voice box translator to get to the IWGP title. Because weird thing I got from him, like, he's been doing this gimmick with the voice translator, but he compliments Renee on her rhinestones on the heart over her chest. Mm. I was like, all right, Shibata's playing a little creeper now. So that's definitely how they're going to angle him versus Moxley, I assume, in a weird, strange way. Because kayfabe wise, he came across like that's pretty. If someone came up to you in the street with a Google translator and went, yo, I like that thing on your chest, it'd be a little weird. So it came across that way. So I imagine that's somehow the end game of he's not beating Mox, but
I wonder with that, because like New Japan haven't used him at all since that that match, right? Where he like was like, now we're doing strikes. They haven't used him at all since then. So it's still the New Japan title, and even though you're like potentially a match on US soil, I would still expect they have some sort of say in that. Yeah. So I wonder, we see him challenging Jericho on Dynamite this week for the FTW title. I love the translation thing, but my one gripe is he's never typing.
Yeah.
He's just,
he already has it.
He already has it all like prepared what he's going to say. Like, I'm just like, come on, suspend. Like, you gotta work with me here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm just like, he comes across, he's like, oh, nice things on your, I'm like, all right. Can you kick somebody in the head? I mean, he's going to do that on Wednesday. So maybe Shibata versus Jericho is the smartest booked match, because people who don't like Jericho will tune in to see Shibata kick him in the head. So we'll see. I am interested in that for some reason.
Yeah. Jericho's becoming very much, this is where I go to the toilet, or this is where I do something else right
the
now.
The Jericho vortex.
It's
hashtag, like, I mean, trademark.
He's very smart, right? Like, he knows he's getting this kind of go-away heat at the moment, so he's using it. He's using the criticism that is often thrown at him, you know, about not elevating people. And it's clever to an extent, but also it's the same as the sports entertainment thing, isn't it? And that whole gimmick with the Jericho Appreciation Society, and now he's starting his third faction in the company by the looks of it with the Jericho Vortex. And
it's Learning Tree is the name.
The Learning Tree, yeah.
he's got to get GYV in there.
Yeah, it also somewhat still feels like a bit of a punk dig as well. You know, it's he's playing the veteran who's giving unwanted advice to the younger people on the roster and not truly like sure of what the intentions are and that kind of thing. Like it feels like another like subtle dig at that, which I kind of just am over at this point. I'm just over Chris Jericho. I don't think I get what he's doing. He's like, no, they're booing my character. But I get the sense, and I don't think it's just me. I'm hearing from a lot of people and a lot of people I'm watching Dynamite with that it's just go away heat right now. And I think it would be way better served just taking some time off and doing a bit of a tour with Fozzy or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he still is. Like, he does still do these tour dates and stuff. But I think some time away right now would be good. But it does not look like that's going to be the case. In fact, maybe he's like, no, I'm just going to burn through right now and then, like, completely stop, right? I don't know. But
I'm bringing Big Bill into this. Big Bill, who I think has really, like, stepped up since coming into AEW. And, like, obviously got a great story. Like, if you go back and listen to the episode of Eagles Don't Hunt Flies with Dickie Brandon and Bushby, where they're talking about, you know, alcoholism and how Big Bill overcame this and got into incredible shape and his promo improved and his wrestling improved. And I thought the run with Ricky Starks was pretty fun. But seeing him just be a heavy in another faction, which looks like where we're going, it just feels like a step back. And I think we could be pushing Big Bill as more of a like a big baby face for a bit.
Big Bill baby face.
Solo, yeah.
I like what he's done, especially like he's always been like a bit character, but he's stepped up and proven that he wants this and everything. Like, a lot of guys give up. A lot of guys don't. A lot of guys just get the check, and this guy like put the work in. I mean, just the way he looks. He's jacked now. He looks like he's scary now, right? Like,
yeah,
he looks the part. And I mean, maybe it's not a bad thing to put him with Jericho, because I don't know what else. He was doing fine with Ricky Starks, but Ricky doesn't want to do tag team stuff, I'm sure, even if he even stays in AEW. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Jericho could definitely use a little bit of a break right now. And like, he's had one hell of a career. You don't need to do anything else. Like, if it's time to take a chill and go tour and do whatever, like, now's not a bad time. But wrestling's hot right now. I guess he still wants to be part of it, make that check. I don't know. But
yeah,
again, he used to be one of my favorites, and he'll go down as one of my favorites. But like, definitely is it hits the lull of the show when he comes out, because it's like, all right, what could you possibly do? Jake in the chat says Jericho's just been doing the same thing over and over again for the past few years. And we just said like the okay, I'm going to have some people in my group. And then it's this like getting to the point where it's a bit, and now it's a bit, but it's still doing it. So it's like, fuck.
Yeah. And it hasn't elevated anyone really, no. Has it?
But yeah. Anything else? Cause then we can talk about okay. Sorry. Well, I swear we'll talk about TK, but, Mercedes Moné, the rise and fall of Mercedes Moné, because like they just like broken record here, but we go on every week about how much we really used to love Sasha Banks, and I cannot stand her in AEW. Now Tony's got cornered and was like, oh yeah, actually she wasn't clear, and she's still not clear. So you brought her in just to talk, which,
yeah,
newsflash, I don't think she's a great talker. And I'm thinking everyone is finding that out.
I thought this was her best showing so far. I'm not saying it was the best promo ever, but I think it was definitely a step in the right direction, moving her more heelish against Willow. Willow is such a natural baby face. And I think the like lack of good promos so far from Mercedes has soured people on her. Yeah. So I think having a lean into the heel side, a character she's always been way better at. Like, you're the boss, you're the CEO. Who likes their boss? Who likes CEOs? They're heels, right? Like, I thought it was a better showing, and I think they're setting up, you know, I liked seeing Stokely and Stat really like championing Willow, because I think the turn is inevitable. And I think once that happens, everything's going to fall into place a lot better. And you can, You can spin Willow off feuding with Statlander. You can have Statlander as Mercedes heavy. You can have Stokely as Mercedes mouthpiece. I thought, whilst not a perfect segment, I definitely thought it was way better than like that backstage interview the week before with the moaning and the coming out on stage and just dancing. I thought this had a bit more purpose to it. And her promos need to improve for sure. Like, she needs to come off more natural. She comes off across very like, I've been handed this script and I've learned my lines and I'm saying it and I'm getting across my catchphrase.
Paid a lot of money to do it.
Yeah, but I did think this was more successful than previous weeks. And hopefully she is cleared, because if she's not, that's a, like, could this be a Brian Pillman situation, you know, moving to WWE and actually being like, actually, my body's fucked and I can't wrestle. I'm talking about senior, not junior.
Just like to have him finally say like, oh, actually, yeah, she will be cleared by Double or Nothing. It's like, wait, dude, you mean this whole time, like, you knew this? So it's kind of,
you're cleared when you're cleared. You can't really put a date on it. You can have an estimation of
an AW
when you're back.
You're cleared when you're cleared.
Yeah. But also, if it is a screwy finish, like, and she's not ready, I mean, do you just do like the, like, a non-match kind of thing? Think like Punk Moxley on that Dynamite, you know, like a match that isn't really a match, but you get the title on Mercedes anyway with the turn, and you can put it off even longer until she's actually physically cleared. It's definitely weird. Like, it's not been working so far. And I definitely think rushing her debut was a mistake. Sure, you're in Boston. It's other crowds in the country would have reacted just as big at Mercedes Moné debuting. It didn't necessarily have to be in Boston.
I feel like it's kind of a sleazy move to be like, hey, look at this new star we came in, and it's been fucking weeks of just her talking, and it made even some of her biggest fans realize, like, you kind of pulling a fast one on us here by just having her come out and say nothing every fucking week. And that theme song, I'm sorry, it is not getting any better. That theme song is not it, man. I'm definitely, because she's like, if maybe this is all like how Cody, everyone always thought he was a heel in AEW. No, he's just a heel. Maybe that's what they're trying to do here, is like, let's just see how far we can push it until people genuinely don't like her. And if that's the case, they're winning, because she should be a heel and she'll be way better as a heel. But so far, not liking that. Anything?
Yeah,
else?
And we had the IWGP Championship match. You know, the main title in AEW.
Yeah,
the world title. Which, this obviously, there was an injury in there with Hobbs, and kind of you could see right away, and Mox just trying to like put it away quickly. But I thought the chemistry was off before that injury as well. Like, this was not a good match at all. And just soured me even more. I'm like, going into this, I'm like, wait, why are we main eventing with the other company's title and not your new world champion? There was still that in my head. And then just these two did not click. And then, Hobbs' knee gives out as well, which just made the end ugly. But just soured me even more on this show, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a low point for sure. Unfortunately, Hobbs, that definitely sucks, and he'll be out for a while, I'm sure. But it's weird, because it's like, yeah, Moxley's a big star here in AEW, and he won the IWGP title. Do we need to have him defending this? Like, that's already an issue with all these different fucking titles. So kind of strange that it's there. And then you have New Japan people who are like, you know, spouting off things, being like, what's going on with our title? Like, why did we give the title to this guy who's defending it in the States against people?
Because you all suck. That's why.
Yeah, it's like,
none of you have stepped up. And because your booker hasn't done a good job of getting any of you over in the last 5 years. That's why.
Yeah, stop eating lemons and learn how to win matches.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that, because that's something. But and then the main angle. Finally, we can discuss. Jack Perry returns. All you needed to hear was the Evolution theme song with Okada, the Young Bucks, and Jack Perry in the parking lots, slow walking to the venue. And then they make an agreement to have Tony Khan come out to meet Jack Perry in the ring. And then we went off to the races with the hug, the famous smug look from Jack Perry. Now that we keep seeing this, I do enjoy the scapegoat's grin. And then a punch to the gut. And Tony Khan just fell like a toy in Toy Story when the kid comes back in the room.
It's always so funny because, like, I've never wrestled before, but I'd like to think in my head I'd know how to sell a punch or a stunner or whatever, you know? And yet these owners of these companies who have been involved with the business so long can just never take these moves. The punch to the gut, like, rendered him unconscious.
Forever. It's like that with referees, though, right?
It is.
Or anyone who's, like, a wrestler, but you're not in the match, and for some reason, when you get punched or hit with a move, it's like...
Yeah, like, you'll see a guy kick out of 3 tombstones, but as soon as he puts on a referee shirt to referee a main event match, and he's knocked into, he's dead. Ah. He's dead for 10 minutes.
Okay, maybe Jack Perry just got that golden glove, baby. He just nails him in the gut. It wasn't even, like, to the face, to the head. It was just in the gut. And then the Bucks come out, and they're like, Jack, what are you doing? And then they attack Tony Khan with the TK driver, and they put him in a neck brace. So I feel like all these complaints that I had about this episode of Dynamite were pretty valid. We explained why we didn't like this episode. However, I did like this angle, and I might be in the minority, but they are essentially a sinking ship that's still making money. But every time I watch this show, it seems like there's less and less people in the crowd. It seems like just having good wrestling matches isn't necessarily a great way to run this business. But I think doing stuff like this is, and I know TK in the past has basically said, I won't be ever involved in an on-screen angle, yada, yada, yada. Flash forward, he takes a tombstone from the Young Bucks. So obviously this was all some sort of ploy and plan to then allow him to wear a neck brace the following day and the day after that and the day after that, and probably still today as we're recording, to wear this on, you know, national TV when the NFL draft has him on screen. That got so many views and clicks and people asking questions like, oh, is this guy, who is this guy? Why is he, maybe they do know who he is. Maybe they didn't know he has a wrestling company. And again, for about 20 minutes, there was a unison of wrestling fans all across the land who were like, wow, this guy keeps kayfabe alive. Isn't wrestling great? And then after 20 minutes, people went, yeah, fuck AEW, fuck WWE. And we all just went to shit. But, oh, man, you just had to be there for, like, that little gap where everyone was just like, pro wrestling's great. And he even himself, he gets the opportunity on TV to then shit on WWE and reference Harvey Weinstein. This dude can just not help himself.
Yeah, like, I don't sometimes know, sometimes I go to the convenience store below our place, and I'm like, do I want Pepsi or do I want a sexual predator? Apparently they're the two options. Weird comparison, mixed metaphors and everything, but getting his dig in. But going back to the angle, I'm kind of mixed feelings about it, because I do not want to see Tony Khan as a regular on-screen character. If this is a one and done thing, that's cool with me, but the angle was successful. You know, it's, and you can still feel mixed about airing the all-in footage, but I think it worked. I think it's worked for Jack Perry's character 100%. I think he's come in, he knows what his character is, he's got a real motivation this time. I'm thinking back, I can't remember why he turned heel before he left. I'm trying to think what that story was, and it's not clear in my head at all, but now it's, he's got a very clearly defined character. You took 8 months from my career, something someone else did, someone attacked me and you suspended me and I'm pissed and I'm going to make you pay. I think that's great. And you're going to have this new elite be a very NWO-esque faction, I think, now, where they are going to get support. They are going to be kind of cool heels. But I think, like, in hindsight, it wouldn't have been the move I'd have made, but the showing the Punk footage has definitely helped this Jack Perry character. So I think they achieved what they wanted. And I think this angle is the same thing. It's like I'm watching going, you know, Tony awkwardly acting with the big smile and the thumbs up and yeah, I've signed. And but yeah, like kind of a bit of a genius move. He knows he's going to be on TV the next few days for this draft. Like millions of people watch that thing. And people are like, oh, what, this guy owns a wrestling company? It's getting AEW, that name, out there to people who aren't aware of it. Just like The Rock coming back into WWE brought people back that way. Now you're having people, you know, I always say about people I talk to at the bar and just who don't know. And they're like, hey, what is this AEW company? I saw this guy in a neck brace and he's the owner of Jacksonville and it's working that way. So I think it was a great move. Actually, like a big angle. It definitely worked. I am curious because they put over on Collision about how Tony Khan's going to be running things from home. Like they made it quite, it felt sort of shoot and kayfabe because the reports are he wasn't there at Collision backstage because he's still doing draft stuff. And that's the first AEW show he's never been at. Mm. Recently, he was asked in an interview about, you know, will you be booking this shit until you're dead? And he kind of said, you know, nothing's forever, which is kind of stepping back a bit from where he started, where, you know, he was, I'll do everything. I'll book Dark, I'll book Dark Elevation, Rampage, Collision, Dynamite, Ring of Honor. He's already seemed to, like, you know, being given Chris Hero some more responsibilities with booking and that kind of thing. So I wonder if this is a way to kind of maybe give him a bit of time off, you know, still overseeing, but now putting in its trust in other people, maybe being aware of some of the criticisms of the quality of the show dropping in recent months. And if this angle is a way to kind of, you know, get heat on the elite, get heat on Jack Perry, but also give him some shoot and kayfabe semi time off, I don't think it's a bad thing because I think the pay-per-views have been great. They've got the best roster in the world. You book the best wrestlers in the world against each other, you know what? They're going to put on great matches. The TV has been lacking for a while, and the consistency and the consistency of characters and storylines and that kind of thing hasn't been there. So maybe this is a move, you know, doing, I'm going to take a little step back, kind of, but also get some good publicity, getting AEW out there.
Such a smart move to do that. Like, it was everywhere. It was covered by so many people. It made Pat McAfee furious that he had to rag on him with his boys. Like, oh, he didn't do it right. Yeah, you're mad he did it and you didn't. It was everywhere. It was crazy. I mean, I saw the crowd out for this thing in Detroit. I mean, we were just in Detroit for SummerSlam, and like where this thing took place was really close downtown in that like hub area in that giant parking lot. They're like 250 plus thousand people. Well, they got to check the turnstile count, but like that's a lot of people just who were there just to see people get drafted. Like that shit is crazy. And then on top of that, like all the people watching at home, I thought it was so clever of him to mix in this. In fact, as soon as the angle happened on Wednesday, everybody was kind of like, oh, wait, he's at the draft tomorrow. Does this mean like he won't be on TV or will he? And then people kind of figured out like maybe he did this so he can wear the neck brace. Yeah. And then sure thing, we were all waiting for that. And he did. So, yeah, like just insane that he did this. And I hope it does bring like some publicity to AEW, but then like he did shoot himself in the foot by bringing up Harvey Weinstein, comparing WWE to it, and then saying AEW is Pepsi. So I don't know if that's another CM Punk dig as well, but just bizarre. I mean, he again had people talking like we're talking about it now, but you already had the good buzz from like, wow, look at this guy on TV with the neck brace keeping kayfabe. He's like a young Andy Kaufman. And then next day he's on TV again wearing it and he's like, yeah, fuck WWE. It's like, ah, man.
I think he's very much all publicity is good publicity. I think that's very much his attitude, and saying things that are going to be clickbait,
yeah,
in a way, is what he's doing to, so people are hearing, he just wants people to hear AEW. So it's now people know, like, whereas whenever it's like, oh, I do a wrestling podcast, what, WWE? Maybe people are like, have you heard of this AEW thing? What's AEW? You know? And I think little digs like that, he knows that's going to get attention. And also, I think the nature of, you know, the move, I think people are, obviously it's funny, and there's going to be people like, ah, this is ridiculous. But also, I think people will look at it and this isn't taking a stunner. This is being dropped on your head, which, and for someone who is not a professional, like, pile drivers are banned in WWE. Okay, Undertaker does the tombstone, but like, pile drivers are banned because they're dangerous. You're watching this, and as funny as it is, you go, okay, I got to give credit to the guy for taking that move. And also, people who maybe aren't familiar, whoa, the guy does a somersault into a pile driver.
Not sure what the somersault does to the move.
Oh, but it hurts more velocity, right?
But like, more when the guy pushes you the other
You know, way. It's, we've all seen Stone Cold stun Vince McMahon, but I think just the nature of the move, people go, wow, okay, all right. It's funny, it's daft, but that's kind of cool.
I liked it. I liked that angle. And going forward, having this new elite clearly will work, hopefully, for AEW. They have the titles. They need to get Jack Perry wearing some gold, I guess, as well there. But yeah, like I thought as wrestling angles go, it's pretty good. You have Okada in there with the Bucks and then Jack Perry, and it seems to be working because last week we talked about how they put out a New Japan scapegoat shirt for his match, like just 2 weeks ago, and that sold out on his website. PWT put up a scapegoat t-shirt for AEW shop with the broken glass that says scapegoat. It was their number one seller this week and sold out. Okay. So it's like, okay, like selling shirts doesn't necessarily, you know, whatever, but I'm sure the guy sold quite a few shirts in the last little while, and he does get more of a like mixed reaction. And I think anytime AEW goes to Chicago in the future, I feel like it's defunct now Jack Perry country, because I don't even think they really boo him when he showed up there. They really just gave him some support. So maybe the footage, maybe the footage was legit, like a good idea, because they have made at least something interesting. Me and you have definitely praised Jungle Boy in the past. We've been really big fans of him. Something that lacked was his charisma, his character post Jungle Boy, and kind of delivery of, you know, acting the part of a pro wrestler. I'm sure he's still finding that. We didn't necessarily hear him cut a promo still. So it's like, he'll get there possibly. And I think he could be a big deal, and it's all just going to lead to WrestleMania, CM Punk and Jack Perry. WrestleMania.
You say he needs some gold as well. I could definitely see him and Adam Copeland down the line being something you could build, you know, Copeland kind of presenting himself as the company man, you know, doing that rally speech the other week. And obviously he's not going to be challenging for the Continental Championship. I wouldn't have Ospreay mixed up with the Elite just yet, because I think as soon as you do that, you're going to the Okada match, which you want to put off. So I see, like, you know, Jack Perry had the history of Christian, so there's already a kind of tie into Edge there. I know Copeland is kind of busy with House of Black stuff, and they're trying to decide between the three of them which one are going to take the pin. But I see Jack Perry, Adam Copeland being an option down the line, and taking that TNT title off of him, and then you can have them all draped in gold.
I like it. I like where they're going with it. It could help them, but as far as TK going away, if this is like, hey, maybe he needs to not just go away, but like, I'm maybe get other people involved, get different writers and different people doing different things so that it's not just all on him and he takes all the criticism because he's rushing and doing things on the fly and this and that. Like, maybe he does need to take a look at, you know, we can make X amount of money, but can we take some of that money and maybe get different producers and writers and people helping to create a better product, especially for TV, especially for promotion? Like, WWE is this machine, but you see how much they put into promoting their shows, promoting everything they got going on. So you always know when it is. Meanwhile, AEW, they don't tell you when they're coming to your own fucking town. They don't even do like proper advertisements. They don't do a lot of press and promo stuff. Nowhere as near as much as WWE does. But then they also, like, they seem like they're just happy. We had friends of ours go to Dynasty, and I joked to them saying, oh, did you happen to get any merch? And she went, no, they didn't even sell like the Swerve shirts. It's like, oh, you mean the guy who won the world title? Yeah, yeah. So if I was him, I'd be pretty pissed that I didn't walk out of that arena with a fucking big chunk of change from that. So, and that's something we've noticed. So it just, there's different steps along the way that, like, yeah, AEW took the indie product that was so good, that was gaining so much traction, and they put so much money and production behind it. And I fucking love that. But we're past that now, where you're on TV like three times a week, where maybe we can up it even a bit more. And I'm not talking about adding screens and stuff. Like, make it good.
You don't want to get to the stage that WWE was in for the longest time, where, like, over the last few years, what I'm saying is, over the last few years, WWE tend to put on pretty good pay-per-views. You know, like, they're pretty solid. There are some better than others, for sure. But it definitely became a point, I don't need to watch the TV. I'll tune into the PLE. I'll watch the video package hyping up the match, so I get what the story is, and I'll watch that. And that's how I keep up with WWE. And that's what it was for the longest time. And they've done a good effort, especially in the build to WrestleMania, of making their TV more compelling and a bit more must-see. And I think AEW can run that risk where I'm probably going to, even if it gets like absolutely dire, and it's not there yet. It isn't. We criticize it heavily because we love it and we want to see it be better. But I'm nowhere near throwing in the towel on watching Dynamite every week. Like, I'm going to keep watching it for a long time. But I can definitely see fans being, you know, I'll just watch Double or Nothing. Dynasty was a fantastic wrestling show. Didn't necessarily need to watch the TV leading up to it. And I think that can be a worry, and especially when you're trying to, you know, fill these venues.
Yeah, you're trying to fill these venues, and they haven't been doing that. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter if you put on a 7-star rated match. It's like, man, like, you're not telling people about it enough. And I think they need to change some of the, like, ways they react. They do things, and if it's TK like doing too much, and that's why it was too much to handle, then, like, yo, you spend like 300,000 or a million on fucking playing that Europe song. Pay for different writers, pay people who've done this before, whether it's like ex WWE people who've produced this kinds of stuff before. But, like, there's gotta be some, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, build the bridge back with Eric Bischoff or anything, because he seems like he's just been going off and having a field day with the demise, but really it's just coming off as petty jealousness, where it's like, you were the one who was,
he ran two companies into the ground. So, yeah, like, I don't, like, know if Eric Bischoff is the one to be given.
And the worst, he's always like, oh, your daddy gave you all your money. Yeah, Eric, you're the one who paid Hogan out of your pocket. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It was your money, you fucking goof. I really, really love Eric Bischoff, and I have for years, but he's coming off just
he's really off big time recently.
A child. And, like, oh, I'm sure he's making business on his podcast and stuff, but it's so weird seeing him just shit on someone who was doing the exact same thing you were doing, like, beforehand. And it just comes across, he's jealous. But we missed over a key element from Wednesday night. We're skipping over Tony Khan's dad making his AEW debut.
Mr. Wilson.
This guy comes out looking furious, just like, what the fuck happened to my son? That's why it made me love this angle even more. But, like, what's his name? Shad?
Shad, yeah.
Yeah, just, oh, man. I mean, maybe he becomes a character. I was expecting him to, like, come out and be like, Tony, you're done. You're cut off. I'm done with this shit, man. You're cut off. That would be a huge angle if they were to go that route. That's some WCW 2000 shit. But I loved his facial reaction of just looking like absolutely furious. So if TK goes off TV for a bit, even though we've seen him on TV with the neck brace and everything, maybe Shad can be a character and he gets revenge on the Elite.
They've something they have promoted is Kenny Omega coming out in Winnipeg.
Right.
Something that I think was on Rewind SmackDown or something, one of John Way's shows, a listener suggested that maybe if he's not healthy yet with Tony Khan away, your kind of kayfabe authority characters are the EVPs, right? So right. You could have the Bucks running stuff and Kenny's out there being like, hey, I've got this EVP title as well, and be like the antithesis to them.
Right.
To keep him, like, you know, semi on TV. I have a feeling he's not announcing he's cleared.
He is not announcing. Like, he's not wrestling. No, absolutely.
Exactly.
Not.
So, but maybe to have that as like a on-screen authority thing, because even though Tony Khan's not really like a on-screen character, he is still a character in the sense of, you know, Tony Khan has a huge announcement, or, oh, I just got word Tony Khan's booked this match and stuff like that. So maybe you're going to have more like, oh, and our EVPs, the Bucks, have just announced that this is happening, or Kenny Omega being kind of the rival, like, babyface on-screen authority character until he is cleared.
That could work. Like, what I'm thinking is, like, TK's going to want to get some sort of revenge. So, like, who would be TK's Avengers to fight off the, like realistically, this angle has to make certain wrestlers mad that they did. So it's got to be like Team AEW versus Team Elite, because they're going to want revenge.
Yeah. And it'll be like Christopher Daniels, Matt Sydal,
Orange Cassidy.
No, he's too big for that.
Yeah. I can't really think of where that angle would go, but yeah, Danielson would be like the next TK. It seems like TK's jokes, like, Bryan Danielson, if I were to die tomorrow, you're running AEW. And he's like, yeah, all right.
I definitely feel, yeah, like Danielson and Chris Hero are probably the guys he's like, yeah, can you just sort these children out, please?
Yeah. Put your pink polo shirts on. Sort things out. So yeah, maybe we'll see Shad Khan return to AEW. Maybe
Shaka
we'll
Khan?
See Shaka Khan. And maybe you'll see her at AEW too. But I did like that angle. And I thought that leading to the neck brace gave some great publicity, some great press for AEW. And hopefully it worked. But then he had to make that reference, of course. But it's wrestling, baby. It's what it is. But yeah, I wouldn't say it was a great week. But I mean, while on the topic of AEW, we can talk about Collision and even some Rampage, which I guess Trent cutting that promo, I just had to check out this parking lot brawl. But okay, so first of all, you had Collision, and they announce that GYV, the Grizzled Young Veterans, are showing up, which definitely has my attention. We are such big fans of them, and we've been with them through the good and the bad of the learning tree. What was their tree called? Emoji?
Four Roots, One Tree, the...
Gun to your head. What is the name of that group?
Oh,
I'm pulling it back. I don't know either, so I shouldn't be talking. Yeah, it's not like we do this as our profession.
They were the Dyad, as part of the Schism Tree.
Schism Tree.
Yeah.
Schism Tree. Wait, was it the Schism Tree or just the Schism?
They were both. They were the Schism, but they also had their own little tree.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Wow. I'm glad you figured that out. I come to anyways. Love those guys.
My life was depending on it. You were going to shoot me.
Yeah, I was about to, yeah. Those guys are fantastic, and they've been pretty good at doing the social media game, cutting promos, wearing suits, looking the part, dressing the part, might I add. Yeah. They look class. And then they get announced for AEW Collision. And, okay, so it's against the Acclaimed, and I'm like, all right, I imagine these guys are going to job to already established stars, but I thought they gave them some time. I thought they actually got them across. I thought the crowd eventually went on their side more so than the Acclaimed at one point. So even though they lost, I actually think they can easily slot into AEW as one of their best top teams going forward. And I hope that is the case. I'm not just like, oh, TK, please sign this like hot tag team. It's like, no. It's like, if we have these guys and then, you know, knock on wood, the Machine Guns also coming in, like that's something. I mean, that's something TK could do as an on-screen angle is like, hey, Bucks, I signed your like biggest rivals.
I mean, that's something Kenny could do, isn't it? Kenny's like, I'm not clear to wrestle, but you know some people who have history with you and bring out
like
guns. Like that would be good. I get the sense GYV are just like testing the waters. You know, they had like a short term deal with TNA, see what it's like over there. I wonder if they'll do any sort of stuff in Mexico or have they worked Mexico at all? I don't think so, but that's something they could potentially do, kind of what we've seen Ziggler doing, you know, try out a bit of New Japan, try out a bit of TNA, see what's out there before landing somewhere. Because I think they do have pride in their work, and it was clear that they were unhappy and they in WWE, and they probably want some assurances that, you know, we want to somewhat control of our career a little bit, and we want to be guaranteed we're going to be like used the way we want to be used, and therefore not rushing into signing, all right, well, let's commit the next 3 years of our life to a company. So I think it's probably a good move. I do see them landing in AEW full-time down the road, but it's kind of cool just seeing them sort of, you know, just hop around trying out different promotions right now.
They would be a great fit here and definitely could. They need some British stars. I know they just got Ospreay in there, but a hot British tag team for when they do All In is also a good idea. But I just really like these guys. I've always been a big fan of their wrestling. And even in this match with the Acclaimed of all people, like who I also love. I just feel like they're like oddly turning themselves heel for some reason. I'm not quite sure. But
they need some sort of character change, right? Like now,
like an evolution.
Now they're out of the title picture in both like trios and tag. They need some sort of evolution, and I think heels.
I think so.
But you're right. Like I didn't even think about All In, but 60,000+ people, shoes off for good for Gibson.
Gibson would be. I mean, FTR. FTR GYV, don't go to this. Don't just be like, hey, this is announced for Dynamite this week. Like, no. Stay away from it so that when they do go to it, it's treated like a bigger deal, because that is one of the big dream tag matches for sure. So it was really cool to see those guys, and I'm always going to support. Mm-hmm. And like, look, they could. There's so many GYV scarves that they won't sell at these live events. So just think of the merchandise. Other things from this thing, we mentioned Swerve started off Collision. I thought this is what they should have done on Dynamite, have Claudio come out, challenge him to the match later that night, which they had a pretty sweet match, including the stomp counter into the uppercut, which was just a thing of beauty there. But that was a pretty solid match. This is, we said it, but this is exactly what you should have just done on Dynamite, because I know the whole NBA lead-in for this Collision, but I still think that was a bit of a miss-up. But what did you like this match as well?
I did, yeah. I actually really enjoyed Collision this week. I really liked Swerve's promo at the beginning. I found it quite interesting because the Sherry Martel dark side is still kind of in my head from this week. And when he was, you know, saying about his daughter, saying, like, I don't really feel like I know you, but him being like, you know, they're the things you sacrifice to be a champion and to try and provide a better life for your kids. It's not necessarily going to be seeing them all the time. And that kind of resonated with me because of the hearing, you know, was it Jared, Sherry Martel's son, kind of saying the same thing? No, I didn't really see my mom, but I know she loved me, and I know she was like trying to like changed the industry for women in wrestling, and in doing so did provide for me. So I found that kind of interesting. But he's now just completely pure babyface. You know, I could have maybe done with the like, oh, I'm worried about Tony Khan, man, in like your first like victory promo. But
Nah, fuck him.
He's a great talker, and I thought this was absolutely what we needed on Dynamite. But yeah, him versus Claudio, I think a great match. Just yeah, like Claudio's freak strength. You can just
crazy.
You can do so many cool stuff. We had Osprey.
Yeah, I'm still thinking of that spot from Osprey.
The big swing. Yeah.
Oh man, like everyone. Yeah. We all got like blown away by Danielson and Ospreay from that amazing match, which I'm still thinking about. Don't get me wrong. I don't think anything this year will touch that match. But that Cesaro Ospreay spot from the swing, like just from last week or whatever, 2 weeks ago, was fucking nuts. But I love this match. However, was not my match of the night on this episode of Collision, because Rey Fénix returned to action to take on formerly known as the Ford Focus, no, the Black Taurus, and now he's Rigor Mortis. What is his name now?
He's the Beast Mortis.
The Beast Mortos. I don't know. It sucks that this guy had to change his name, fucking all these like rules and all this shit and legal shit. But look, there's two ways you can look at this. When you see a match card and it says Black Mort, what's his name?
The Beast Mortis.
Fuck. Okay. You think calling Kevin Steen is wrong? Just wait. I'm going to get this guy's name wrong every time. But Black Taurus, when you see his face, his mask on a match graphic, it goes two ways. You have the type of people who go, well, that's fucking dumb. Or everyone else who's like, what the fuck is that? And that looks sick. And then you see him wrestle. This guy is crazy, man.
I love this guy.
We've been like praising this guy from time, but this is it. Like now he's got the name change that he's signed to AEW. Like this is what I love in my wrestling. And this match was bananas, including the spot where Rey Fénix fucking tap dances on his head and kicks him.
He walked on his head.
I legit had the same reaction. I rewound it. Like I watched it today. I rewound it like three times. He legit tap dances on this motherfucker's head. Rey Fénix, incredible. But this match was crazy, and all the respect to the Lucha. This was the top Lucha match of the weekend, because I also skimmed through of what you could call a Triple Mania from this weekend, and it was not. This was fucking awesome. Like Black Taurus, Black Mortis, fuck, Black Mamba number 5 versus Rey Fénix, and it was great. So I really want to see this guy go forward. And they teased me, Davey, because we had, what's his fucking name? The guy we don't like.
Alex Abrahantes.
Yeah, you had him ringside for whatever reason. And Black Taurus looked at him for a second like, yo, who the fuck are you? I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, please do. Yeah. Penta, just come out and murder him.
Yeah, no, I love this guy. I think he's such a interesting wrestler. He's kind of got that rhino body type where he's not particularly tall, but he's just...
He's a little bigger, jacked. Though. That's a taller, yeah.
He's a bit more jacked, but he's not... I don't know how tall... He doesn't come across as particularly tall, but he's so, yeah. Like... And I think that's why, like, the, like, bull gimmick, the Taurus, just worked, because he looks like that. He looked like his body looks like that.
You say he looks like the way, you know... The way he moves, though, is
very, like, high-flying luchador, whilst also being able to be that great base as well. Like and then just the look, I think we'll get used to the name eventually. Names change in wrestling. It's just something that happens all the time. Within the same companies, you know, you leave NXT and you've got a new name. That's nothing new. But I think the new mask looks great. I think, just he's someone that you're flicking through channels and you see this guy and you're like, whoa, who is that?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Rey Fénix is just the perfect opponent for him as well. Like, I think this guy's fantastic.
Yeah, like, look, I'm not saying this guy needs to be world champ, but fuck it. Like, he's a bull. He's the Beast Mortos. But, like, man, every time I watch him, he's like... scene stealing. Like I think back to the Ric Flair retirement match. I'm pretty sure he was in that six-way lucha or whatever, and he stole that show, and he steals everything. And to think this guy, like, he was in TNA Impact for the past little while, and he wasn't necessarily treated as one of their big stars or anything, but every time I watch him wrestle, I always go, look at this fucking guy wearing a bull mask with a, you know, earring through it or nose ring through it. And then I watch him and he's doing corkscrew tornadoes or whatever. Oh man, he's such a treat to watch.
I just looked out of curiosity. He's exactly the same height as Rhino.
It's 5'10"?
5'10", yeah.
Wow.
Nice. At me.
Base god. You could be a base god, too.
I could be a base. I should be a base god. Yeah.
So that was Collision, and then they led into Rampage. So I did check out the first match of Rampage because, I mean, Trent just... He had me. So I watched the parking lot brawl between the best friends. The best friends explode here tonight, and Trent taps him out. The match is stopped, but they got pretty violent with was that real glass? Were those rental cars in this in this parking lot brawl? CM Punk did not watch this match. It was fine.
CM Punk just really cares for Hertz, doesn't he? Like, just wants to make sure. Oh. Don't destroy their cars.
Enterprise. It was pretty fun. There was definitely some crazy spots with Trent jumping off one car onto the next one, onto Chuck. That was pretty good. And then lots of blood as well. So it was pretty fun. But again, I was just soured from why is this treated like this is we can't wait to get to this match. But
I like that with Rampage, though. I do think we're going to move forward to a point where Rampage becomes like a regular third hour for either Dynamite or Collision. And I think it's a great idea. You know, your lead in is wrestling. I think it should stay as Rampage. No, don't make Dynamite 3 hours, but have, you know, you enjoy Dynamite, you want to stick around. We're going to pay off one of these like lower mid card feuds on. And I think more people do that. Like, I could do with another hour of wrestling. Sure. Or, I don't need to watch it. The main storyline's kind of over right now. So I think Rampage, I mean, it's proven it does way better numbers in these positions. But I like that as your kind of C show, which it is now. Yeah, why not pay off one of these? I don't need to see Trent v. Chuck on Dynamite, but sure, on a Rampage, you've got my attention. A parking lot brawl, cool. And yeah, I thought, like, yeah, it was pretty fun. Lots of blood, lots of glass, lots of cars. I quite liked it.
But rip the best friends. What are they going to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
What are they going to do? Poor Orange. It's just torn here. But yeah, that was pretty fun. So AEW had some hits, some misses. This week's Dynamite definitely had people talking. That's definitely one thing. So, I guess we'll see this Wednesday with the fallout from Tony Khan being attacked from Evolution, the Elite. Should we talk about some WWE?
Yeah. We had the draft this
draft
week.
Day.
So much drafting.
So meanwhile, TK's doing the real draft, and then there's this fake draft on WWE TV.
I mean, I'd say it the other way around.
Like, yeah.
Who big draft. Drafting kids to sports? I don't know. School children going to do,
you know,
things.
WWE.
No, I want to know about proper established wrestlers. Are they red or blue?
They should cut to wrestlers like at home. I don't want to see like all these NXT people at the PC. I want to see them like with their family, with their wives, their side chicks, all these white girls, and then they be like, so and so has been drafted to SmackDown. Oh, and they like get all like, yes, the family gets all excited, but instead I like the NXT part of it actually, but like
probably the most interesting thing about the draft, I'd say. Because,
like, having the reactions?
Well, yeah, but also just like, I think the issue is I was curious because this is the first, you know, Paul Levesque draft. And the drafts, like every year they announce it, I'm like, you have some curiosity, and then you're like, actually, I don't really care if Ivar's on Raw or SmackDown. It doesn't make much of a difference to me. But the things that are interesting are who's getting called up from NXT. Who are they going to try and have breakthrough? And I think like Carmelo and Braun, we already knew they were called up anyway. So that wasn't really anything new. But Kiana James is someone who I was surprised with, but she's also kind of ready. I think we've seen her wrestling, like she is one of the better women's wrestlers in NXT, and unless they're putting her in a meaningful like title feud, why not call her up? And it seemed like she didn't know, and a genuine reaction there. So I think that's the most interesting thing of these drafts, because otherwise it is kind of dull. You've got these legends come out and acting like it's all important, and it really doesn't change things too much.
No, you say that because I did not like this draft. I thought as much as, you know, Triple H is doing a good job and stuff, this was same old bullshit to me. I hate it. I skipped through half this fucking show on SmackDown. And you know what? The best part was the reaction from Kiana James, because that is legit. Like I mentioned, like, oh, like NXT, like having that is a good part of it. But the whole show is like, oh, hey, AJ, SmackDown picks him. Carmelo Hayes, who's already been drafted to SmackDown. Hey, SmackDown drafts you. Hey, Braun, you're also drafted to SmackDown. Oh, and Raw gets Seth and Jey Uso. And it's like, well, these people are already on these shows.
Yeah, I don't know what you could do to make it a bit more interesting. And I think in the last year, they did do a better job of having them a bit more separate throughout the years. But I think the only way the draft actually gets more interesting is if it is very clearly separated brands.
It hasn't been anyways.
It never really has been, especially, you know, WrestleMania season. You should just throw that out the window to, like, just get your best stuff. I wonder what would make these drafts more interesting. I can't really think what. You know, what might be interesting is, you know, you've just signed Tama Tonga and potentially Jacob Fatu, right? What if you had some free agent signings on these things? Of course, like the way the Bloodline thing worked, yeah, you want the surprise, but you know, if you have signed like a big name from the indies, have that. Oh, SmackDown's just drafted free agent Jacob Fatu, and show a highlight package of him or stuff like that. If you like continued the draft through to NXT, that's how you call up some of these next in line people. You've just shown last week on NXT this Tyrese and Tariq or whatever their names was, these new guys they're going to bring up next week, have that as part of the draft. Like, hey, these are, you know, former NFL players or football players, whatever it is, showing their background and having that as part of the draft where you're then interviewing them. It doesn't really matter to me if Randy Orton's on Raw or SmackDown. Like, that's not as interesting. So playing about with more the sports nature of it, perhaps, and I think focusing more on your lesser talents, your people that you're training in your PC, your NXT call-ups, is way more interesting to me than what brand The Miz is on.
Yeah, no, it's that definitely a way more interesting factor, and even tying in the NXT, but they already brought Braun on TV. They've already brought Melo on TV. So it's just like, oh, we need to actually retread just because. But if that's what they need to do, then that's what they need to do. But maybe they do going forward. So like what, after Backlash, that's it. So like there is maybe a bit more of some sort of brand split, but who's to say they won't just go back to the old ways of like, oh, hey, The Rock's on SmackDown, so Cody's going to be on SmackDown and Raw and thus this and that.
Well, that's an interesting thing as well, because I guess Cody is on SmackDown now, right? Because he is a Raw talent, but he's got the
but there's only one. But oh no, wait, there is another belt.
There's Priest, right? Yeah. So because they said champions aren't eligible to draft, so I imagine Cody is moving to SmackDown. I liked the Melo Cody match, but man, that spot.
Of all the people to do it, yeah, like. Yeah, I've watched that clip back a few times, and it's like, it reminds me of any indie wrestler who watched Ospreay and Danielson be like, all right, I'm going to do that spot this week where we both go for the move at the same time. And something just didn't add up. I think Melo thought Cody was closer to the ropes than he thought. So he jumped first. And
it was
Cody...
weird, because before the spot even happened, there was like this hesitation in the corner, and like, it looked like they just like stopped. Like, wait, what is it? Oh, we're doing this now.
I mean,
because before the spot even happened, I was like, what's going on? This,
yeah,
we love like a hesitation.
We love Cody, we love Melo too. But yeah, this match actually didn't necessarily hit the way I thought it was. And I hopefully it doesn't like give people the wrong intention of Melo, because he is pretty damn good. So, but I think it was a bit of a miss. That's sometimes he misses. He says he doesn't sometimes, but you know.
But that's going to be the... I didn't mind the match aside from that, but like that, something like that, that's the only thing people are going to remember from it. But I hope Melo kind of... I like him. The guy can talk. It should have... Like, they were going for that, you know, kind of like Melo and Adam Cole had on NXT. They were going for that sort of thing. Like we just saw with Javon.
Yeah.
With Ilya.
Ruthless aggression.
But it just didn't really work there, which was a shame. But I think Braun is going to be a big deal.
I'd be scared if you're a SmackDown roster member and they book you in a match against Braun Breaker. I'd maybe not take it, because the past few weeks have been some people who've been released. So yeah. Cedric, don't pick up your phone this week, because he got murdered.
Braun's on Raw though now, right? He's drafted to Raw, yeah.
Okay.
Because Wolf Dogs are no more. Baron Corbin is on SmackDown.
Oh, right, yes. So he's not on NXT anymore.
Nope. Oh, nope.
Moving on in the world.
But yeah, other than that, there's not really Bloodline staying on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not really any big moves, to be honest. But we'll see on Monday what they'll do, and if it's any more interesting. I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, I just want it to kind of be over and go towards, because the Backlash card doesn't necessarily have my attention as well. Like, I know Cody and AJ sounds awesome, and hopefully it is. But everything else just seems like, yeah, all right. Like,
it looks fine. I think it will be fun. It's such a come down from Mania, right? Like I think Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus the Bloodline, we're seeing Tama Tonga's like first WWE match. I think that could be fun. I imagine Bianca and Jade take the tag titles from the Kabuki Warriors. I kind of want to see Tiffany Stratton win this championship.
But yeah.
I don't think they'll cut this Bayley championship reign that early. I think Jey Uso has some, like, you know, he's got to prove himself, because he kind of admitted that match with Jimmy wasn't it. It didn't work. It wasn't good. And I really want to see him try to prove himself as a singles guy. The guy has the charisma. He's got a good promo. The crowd love him, but his singles wrestling hasn't been up to par for the position they're putting him in, for me. But sometimes that kind of chip on your shoulder sort of does elevate someone. Priest is going to have a lot to prove as well, being his first championship defense. So I'd be interested. I hope it's not just super kick, super kick, super kick. But Cody and AJ should deliver as well. That should be good. So yeah, it feels very, very much a B show, especially coming off of Mania. But hopefully on the night, or on the day rather, some of these will like exceed expectations.
And then what about Sammy? Are they adding Sammy Gable?
I feel we're getting Sammy Bronson Reed.
Yeah.
On the show. And then we'll go to Sammy Gable further down the line.
Yeah.
Sammy should be on the show. He's got to be the de facto French guy on this show, right?
They're pretty much like, yeah, you're French Canadian. It's close enough. So yeah, I feel like this card doesn't have my attention whatsoever. If it had Sammy Gable, I think that would be like the most interesting match from that angle. You'd imagine that they still go with that, but yeah, so maybe we'll go through some final predictions on Tuesday after we chat about some NXT, because we'll have Raw after that and maybe see some other things added and so forth. But yeah, the Mania come down, the draft. I'm sure the crowd in France, though, will be absolutely wild for this show, I'm hoping, because it'll come across pretty good. Any other WWE stuff?
Drew McIntyre, yesterday it was reported that he has re-signed. The Rock personally re-signed Drew and gave him a sword.
Yes, I saw this video where he gifted him a giant fucking sword, as if this man doesn't need... He just got rid of the sword gimmick, and now he's bringing it back thanks to The Rock. You know, if The Rock bought me a sword, I'd probably keep it too, and it's probably worth a lot of money. But yeah, this is cool. So in 2019, The Rock was asked, like, who does he who does he see as like the future of WWE, the next big star kind of thing. And he did say Drew McIntyre was his pick. He says he loves this guy. And fast forward to today is The Rock personally signing him. So we all kind of figured, as cool and awesome as this is, it's the one time where it'd be like, no, shut the fuck up. He's not signed. What are you talking about? No. Clash at the Castle. We're going to do the whole CM Punk thing.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. No. But it's like, no, it's a cool moment because of The Rock and all this. But
I think Drew's played such a great, like, negotiating game, though, right? Like, it's his contract's been up and they've been negotiating for months. It's been reported that he's not re-signed. You know, he's a guy they don't want to lose. So they've been booking him in good positions. And each time he's like hit it out the park, you know, he was a big feature of WrestleMania. These promo wars he's been having with Punk, et cetera, have been great. Like he's been at his very best of his career at the right moment when this contract's coming up. And yeah, probably got a great pay rise out of it. So good for Drew.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. I'm sure he got big numbers. And I'd say the whole CM Punk thing was a blessing for his career because he'd already started going that route, but it was just something that added so much to that. And when they go to that match eventually, like that will be some big stuff. So very, very excited for him. He's definitely stepped it up, man. Like even it's specifically his promo game has just been very good. And his Twitter game, his social media game has been pretty good. So I'm sure he got a big check. Another thing coming out was that all these like financial websites and reporters, even I'm sure WrestleNomics put out that WWE made surprising a lot of money from WrestleMania 40.
What?
A lot of fucking money with like the biggest gate that they like. I swear they come out that they made $40 million on WrestleMania 40, which is just very poetic there. So fucking crazy.
It just means these events are going to get more and more expensive.
Yeah. They're going to try to top their own. They think they're so sly, right? Wow. We beat the record of our own gate. Okay. How much was a ticket to WrestleMania 1? We don't need to talk about that. How much was the ticket for WrestleMania 40? A lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when you look at movie like box office and like you have to look at how much it translates to back in the day, because movie ticket back in the day was nothing.
You have smarter people than us though who work out inflation and all that. Yeah.
But it's crazy that the juggernaut of WWE this year.
Yeah. Good for that corporate organization and
the Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Wrestling, if that makes any sense.
Well, talking of Harvey Weinstein,
he's in the hospital.
Vince McMahon has a lot of Vince news coming out this week. He's hired like the PR team that Harvey Weinstein used, like a top, damage control, pardon the pun, kind of organization. He's hired them. He sold the last remaining stock, so he doesn't have any ties at all with WWE now. And he kind of first statement out against the Janelle Grant lawsuit that's going on, and obviously denying the things, them questioning, you know, the timeline that's been given and saying like, oh, her parents died 2 years ago, so she can't still be upset about that. It's all stuff, again, smarter people than us, i.e. John Pollock and Brandon Thurston, go into big detail on their show. But yeah, it looks like it's starting to get messy. And, you know, we're talking about, I think it's going to arbitration to decide if it's going to go to arbitration is what I'm kind of gathering from that, which means, is it going to be a closed door thing or is it going to be a public thing? But
yeah. Yeah. Look, you're mentioning he's got the similar lawyers to Harvey Weinstein, who is in the news this week.
PR team, like
PR team. Not sorry, lawyers, not lawyers, but like Weinstein getting some of his trials like reversed, and they're saying he might be free because of some certain things. And it's so like foul. Again, we're longtime wrestling fans, and any longtime wrestling fan who's watched Vince McMahon do stuff on TV, you could only just imagine the stories and the murmurs of the shit this guy was doing behind closed doors. And this is why, you know, victims don't ever want to come out and give this story, because even if you are telling the truth, look at all this bullshit you have to go through. Yeah. And you have to explain things that have happened to you repeatedly, to open to the public, to be judged and to be made fun of. It's this whole messy thing. And we knew this going into this, that as soon as Vince McMahon, as soon as like the domino is pushed over, Vince will be gone from wrestling. And it's finally happened. And like the wrestling fans in us is like, yeah, good, he's gone. And he's getting rid of all his shares. You see people joking, like, is he going to start his own wrestling company? It's like, oh, fuck no. No, he's going to try to win this case so that he doesn't have to pay more money and not go to jail. But he's going to fight this. And I possibly don't see him going to jail. I possibly seeing him fighting this and doing, like, look at all these big time, like Bill Cosby.
Rich men get away with shit.
Yeah, like all these powerful guys are free right now. So like don't act so shocked if he doesn't see any, you know, repercussions from this. As fucked as it is, as fucked as most people think he is guilty of some of these things.
I mean, for me, like, and I'm no lawyer, I'm no expert at all, but you know, having an NDA kind of shows maybe you didn't do stuff that you want people to know about, right?
Yeah.
That's what an NDA is. Wanting to settle this privately instead of publicly. I don't know. If I was accused of stuff, I'd be screaming my innocence and showing all the proof, wanting that knowledge public, that, you know, my case to be out there. And looking to settle. Like, again, if it's my name, you know, I'd want to protect my name. I wouldn't just want to pay, just have that. Just go away. Take my money. Go away. Like, no, fuck that. I'd be wanting to, like, clear my name and be innocent, not just pay for something to go away. Like, and then you see those texts and stuff like that, and it just doesn't, like...
The text, man. The text.
Yeah, I don't believe this guy is innocent at all. And I really hope justice gets served. And I like that you hear Ann Callis saying, like, nah, we're not looking to settle. We kind of want justice here. So we'll see. It's just going to get messier and messier as it goes forward.
Yeah.
But you said it,
all these powerful people, look at Diddy right now. Like, all these dudes know how to evade things, and
one of them's wanting to be president, you know, like, that's crazy. The world we live in, and there's a good chance he will be a felon and, like, convicted and be president of the United States and probably pardon this motherfucker because they're best friends anyway. So, like,
yeah,
that's the world we live in.
Trump is gonna become president and pardon Vince McMahon and then publicly murder Jimmy Kimmel live on television.
Yeah.
That's probably what's gonna
happen. Get away with it.
Yeah, and be fine. And
go to Saudi Arabia to watch some wrestling.
We see this is happening, and we, like, Vince, this shit is so disgusting and gross, and it's just gonna keep getting messier and messier, and he's gonna fight it and stuff. But it's kind of what we all assume the second it happens, like, oh, okay, let's see if they can try to take down Vince McMahon. And hopefully they can, but as we've seen, as history shows us, powerful dudes get away with a lot of shit. So
yeah,
there you go. So I mean, we just took it in such a downer. We can't end the show talking about Vince McMahon and shitting on people's heads. So let's talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling's King of Pro Wrestling title change. I'm sorry to give any spoilers here, but Yuya Uemura defeated Great Okan for the KOPW title. I highly recommend looking this up, not for the match, but a part of the match, which Yuya and Great Okan have to sit down and eat a full lemon in order to win this part of the match. So Uemura starts off by eating this. Please search this video. It's only like a minute long. He bites into this lemon and he is struggling. And then Okan sits down and in like two bites is pretty much completely eaten the entire lemon. And I'm not talking about like a skinned or peeled lemon. I'm talking about the whole thing, the rind, like the fucking, oh my God, I've watched this like three times. I want to know, Davey Portman, could you do this?
I have bitten out of the lemon before.
I have too, but like the skin and everything,
eating it,
like, can that even be good for you? Like, it must be. It's a fruit, but oh my God.
All I'll say is I'm looking at flights for January 4th as we speak, because like just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. New Japan is where it's at, clearly.
I just couldn't fathom this guy. Yuya was like, how he was reacting as if like me or you were to just be like, all right, I gotta try to eat this lemon. But Great O'Conn is just one sick freak. Just
munching.
It looks like he eats these things regularly like that. Like if you were to peel it, I could eat the whole like lemon, no matter how sour, it's fine. But with the skin and everything, the rind on it, oh my God. Just this was I was just astonished and impressed. So that was my match of the week. What's this lemon party in New Japan?
So what's next for the King of Pro Wrestling Championship? What matches would you like to see? Make up some wacky matches.
I mean, if you're gonna do more like food things, I guess like eating a full lemon. What is like the next step? Like eating eating bugs?
They must have done like, you know, Carolina Reapers or something like that, right? That's got to be.
But then, like, some people can't, like, I mean, some people probably couldn't stomach eating a full lemon. But imagine eating, like, if your body can't take spice and you're forced to eat something that's, like, way above your level. Like, some of these YouTubers, you remember those hot chips that got banned? We were going to do it, and we were just a little, like, we didn't want to fuck up our bodies.
Died.
And people were dying. These YouTubers are going around dressing up as, like, fake free sample people. And they go, here, try our free sample of our chip. And as soon as someone eats it, they realize it's one of those chips. And like, that's so cruel, hilarious, but cruel. And I don't know if you could do that in New Japan, but yeah, the King of Pro Wrestling title while eating Da Bomb hot sauce.
Yeah.
But on a lemon.
Yeah.
Should just make it great. Some other little bits and bobs from this week. Dolph Ziggler is your AAA mega champion.
Wow.
Just for anyone.
How many championships is he still one of the.
He's the New Japan global champion or some shit. Is he global like that.
Is he a champ in TNA?
No, he. Matt Hardy is? No, wait.
I don't know.
I don't know. He
finally got that win back over Alberto El Patron, who ended his title reign.
Yeah.
His final world title reign in WWE. So he gets it back.
Anyone who's big fan of the 2010s era of wrestling really tuned in to watch Dolph Ziggler and Alberto Del Rio in not even the main event, because the main event was Jeff Jarrett and his clowns taking on like the AAA guys, and Jarrett was throwing tortillas into the crowd doing some racist shit gimmick.
It was Team MAGA, wasn't it? Like,
all I know is Alberto Del Rio did not look good. I'm not really a big fan of his. And
yeah, I have no interest in watching.
Never watched. We'll watch this
again. Really? Yeah.
Just interesting that Ziggler now is the AAA champion. So who knows? Maybe we'll get Ziggler like Kingo is injured. That's why the title was vacated. That would be a pretty crazy match, but don't really know where they go with Ziggler, but it's better than Alberto. So good for them. Yes, where Satnam Singh and shit was in the thing with Jeff Jarrett.
Yep.
It's like, I think he's trying to bring Global Force Wrestling back, but it's just not.
No, Vince will be doing that, right?
Yeah, him and Jarrett will work.
January 1st, yeah.
I think that's about it. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, I think that's it. Not the busiest week of wrestling, but it will always pick up again. We'll have Backlash next Saturday, so we'll be talking about that on next Sunday's Poison Rana, and the rest of the draft and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yes, we'll be chatting all about that. We'll be live on Tuesday after NXT on the Post Wrestling YouTube and the pod to come out after that. So join us for there. And then we'll be back here on this feed on Sunday at 2 p.m. to chat about some Backlash next week. So hang out with us next Sunday. And then check us out on patreon.com/poisonrana. $5 to become a friend, and you get access to hundreds of shows that we put out there. All these wrestling reviews, movie reviews, our Poison profile on Paul Heyman, our review of Backlash 2004 coming up this week. We've looked at movies like Rocky and all sorts of fun stuff, and it's only $5. So go support your boys and check it out. And if you want to buy some merch, chop-tees.com/poisonrana for all the stuff that we got, the hats, the hoodies, the shirts, and even some summertime, springtime stuff coming out in the near future.
Coming soon.
Look ahead for that. But yes, as always, you can follow us on the socials at Poison Rana Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And I myself, Brayden Harrington, you can find me at the Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
So that's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And oh, I hope Darby Allin is okay after being hit by a fucking bus.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Goodbye.
Oh, holy.